Great. We're continuing our series, Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight, I welcome you to Jesus' School of Prayer. How does Jesus teach us to pray? And to start with the question, how is your prayer life? How are things going in your personal praying? Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, I ask, please, that you'd help me to speak faithfully, to speak the truth from your word. Please give us ears and hearts to hear, and please give us your Holy Spirit, that we might pray in ways that are pleasing and honouring to you. Amen. When it comes to praying, it's all important that we understand who we are speaking to. I'm sure you're aware that when you speak to different kinds of people, you speak in different kinds of ways. Certainly, the attitude behind the words you say is different depending on who you're speaking to. So if you're speaking to your parents, you speak differently to the way you speak to your children. You speak differently to your friends from the way you speak to your teacher. And you speak differently from your peer colleagues at work, from the way you'd speak to your boss. Each relationship is different, different status in the different relationships. So consider, what is the character of the God that you pray to? And what is your relationship with him? What is the character of the God that you pray to? And what is your relationship with him? Your answers to those questions will determine how you speak to God when you pray. So if you think that God is the equivalent of the 16-year-old in the postroom at the bottom of the tower block in the office, that will affect how you pray to him. And it will also affect how you expect him to answer your prayers. Well, what picture of God does Jesus paint for us in his school of prayer? And he presents us with God as a loving heavenly father to Christian people. He presents God as a loving heavenly father to Christian people. Jesus' model prayer begins, "Our Father in heaven." So as Christians, we're to think of God as our Father. What a wonderful revelation this is from Jesus. And I use the word revelation because, as far as I can tell in the Old Testament, and do come and tell me if I've got it wrong, the only people in the Old Testament who could consider God their father were the kings of Israel. So that basically meant that one person at any one time out of the whole of humanity could consider God to be his father. Jesus opens that out to the whole Christian church, to all his disciples. All of us can now call him Father. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 7. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like Gentiles, and that's the NIV translates that pagans. Don't babble like Gentiles, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. People of Christ Church, your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask him. He is omniscient. He knows everything. And in the light of this incredible statement, we must ask the question, if he knows before I ask, well, why should I bother praying at all? What is the point of praying? God is unseen in verse 6, but he sees everything. He knows all our needs, verse 8, before we ask. So why pray? Well, the reason that we pray as Christians is to demonstrate that we are dependent children. When we pray, we demonstrate our trust in God as our Father. We show that we believe that he is in charge of the world and our personal circumstances. We show that we believe, at the end of the day, that God is actually God. And there is a deep humility required in the way that Jesus teaches us to pray. In his style of prayer, we recognize that we are not self-made people. We recognize that every good thing that we have ultimately comes from God. And we recognize the vast greatness of God. His power and majesty are potentially terrifying as we recognize how tiny we are in relation to him. But for the disciples of Jesus, there's the great relief and joy that this omnipotent, powerful God is also our heavenly Father. God is not distant from Christian people. He loves his children and he knows our needs. So let me ask you, are you a disciple of Jesus? Is God your heavenly Father? And if you aren't sure, may I encourage you to repent of your sin and to trust in Jesus as your Savior today. God can become your Father if you place your trust in Jesus. So the first lesson from Jesus' school of prayer is that we pray to the God who is a loving heavenly Father to Christian people, who knows our need before we ask. And therefore we want to be dependent on him in our praying. Well, moving on, let us consider for a moment our priorities in our praying. If you pray, as I'm sure most of us do, what do you mainly pray for? What are the main topics that you cover? What are the main things or people or situations that you pray for? I know it can be hard to actually remember back, but do have a think. And what I'd like you to do is to turn and chat to one person near you just for a couple of minutes and to discuss this. I know that this requires a certain amount of self-exposure, and I realise that's slightly difficult, but let's have a go and try and be as honest as you can. You can speak more generally if you want. You don't have to be absolutely specific. But let's just talk for a couple of minutes about the main things that we ask for in prayer. Well done, everyone. In the light of the fact that God is our Heavenly Father, who knows what we need before we ask him, what should we pray for? Well, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us, verse 9, this is how you should pray. The Lord's Prayer is, if you like, the bottom line on prayer. It's from the mouth of God himself. This really is what we should pray for. There isn't some alternative, more spiritual guide to prayer somewhere else. This is it. And when we consider Jesus' priorities in prayer, many of us find, and I include myself here, that they are sometimes quite different to ours, perhaps even shamefully so. So Jesus teaches that true prayer has God's glory, reign, and will as its primary focus. This is a very profound truth to get hold of. And if you get hold of nothing else this evening, get this. True prayer primarily focuses on God's glory, reign, and will. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Hallowed be your name being God's glory, your kingdom come being God's reign, your will be done being God's will. Now, hallowed can be translated reverenced, purified, made holy. Now, that's not to say that there's something wrong with God's name and therefore it needs to be made more pure. No, the problem is in the minds and hearts of people. And their perception of God's name is the thing that needs to be changed and to be made, to be corrected. So that in our minds we see God's name as holy, as pure. So this request is about God being understood and honoured as he truly is. I wonder if you've ever been misnamed by anyone. I mean, you know, Someone calls you Brian when in fact you're called Steve. Or someone calls you Brenda when actually you're called Stephanie. Or someone calls you Miss when in fact you're Mrs. Or the other way around. What about when people use your nickname and you haven't really ever given them the permission to do that? They're just slightly taking a liberty. Have you ever had that experience? What about when people don't understand your work or they just slightly belittle what you do? Perhaps as a mother, they just completely skate over it like you don't really do anything and all that you give to your families is just taken for granted. Or perhaps you're in charge of a company with 200 employees, but for some reason you're talking to someone, they seem to think you're the secretary. Well, in a similar way, this prayer is about God being recognized for who he really is. And I have to say that this is the central issue in life. And this is why Jesus puts it as the first and most important aspect of the prayer. Who is God really? And as the creator and sustainer of the totality of existence, doesn't he have the right to be hallowed as he really is? But I think we have to stay in stark contrast. We must recognize that for many of us, we actually view reality like this. We are big and God is small. We are important and God is basically irrelevant. We are central and God is peripheral. And when people just use God's name as a swear word, when they use the name Jesus Christ, when it is no more to them than a swear word, we have this fully in action. God, when that is the case, God is clearly tiny. But the prayer, hallowed be your name, is to ask for the exact reversal of this. God is big, we are small. God is important, we are not. God is central, we are peripheral. And we pray this. Jesus teaches us to pray this because this is the way things really are. If the Bible is true, if Jesus is true, if the Lord's Prayer is true, then this is reality. Hallowed be your name is about humanity getting a reality check. It's a prayer that the world would be the right way around, with God at the center and us on the edge. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not saying that we are irrelevant to God. No, for the Christian, God is a heavenly Father. Good fathers love and value their children, and God is a good father. But hallowed be your name is about having a right perspective on God. It's a prayer for the world to get things the right way around. Your kingdom come is almost a repetition of this, but not quite. It's about the world being the way that God wants it to be. It's about us living as individuals in the way that God wants. It's about families, cultures, communities, societies and countries living in the way that God wants them to. It's about morality, personal morality for us, and about justice in the world. It's about obedience to God as described in the Sermon on the Mount and in Jesus' teaching. Your will be done, not my will, not our will, but yours, God. We pray that what God wants will happen. Now, these three phrases are very familiar to most of us. We say them pretty much every week at church. But when we consider them in this way that I've just described, are they not, for many of us, a rude wake-up call? Certainly of seeing the disparity between the things that we mainly pray for and Jesus' priority in prayer. But perhaps for some, there's this sense of being displaced from the center of importance by God, of being usurped by God, who seems to think he's the most important being in the universe, when maybe we feel that it's us. For some, this is a rude wake-up call. For others, it is a joy to discover The all-powerful Creator is in fact our loving Father who knows our need before we ask. It all depends on your perspective. From which perspective are you praying to God? Do any of us need to repent this evening? To repent of living with a false reality, with an essentially godless reality, of believing in a tiny, weeny, convenient God, a pet God, whose primary purpose is to meet our needs? If you need to repent, may I encourage you to come and pray after the service and get right with God. Any of the staff team, we'd love to pray with you. And Phil and Debbie Elston, who will be in the tower, would love to pray with you as well. So secondly, Jesus teaches that true prayer has God's glory, his reign, and his will as its primary focus. And thirdly and finally, Jesus teaches that true prayer is concerned with being in a right relationship with God. Now, I think on the whole, people pray for their own needs and the needs of people that they love and care about. According to Jesus, how are we to pray for ourselves? What do we need that we need to ask God for? Well, we're to come to our Heavenly Father and ask for daily bread. We're to be dependent on him for our daily needs. He is our provider. But the main thing that we need, according to Jesus, is a right relationship with God. We need God to be glorified, hallowed be your name. We need our daily bread, and we need to be in right relationship with God. In terms of need, this is the most important thing as far as Jesus is concerned. We need our sins forgiven by God so that we can be in a right relationship with him. Without forgiveness of sins, there is no right relationship with God. And we need God to keep us from temptation so that we don't turn away from him. Primarily, the issue with temptation is the problem that something might drag us away from God and we'd no longer be in a right relationship with him. So when we pray, lead us not into temptation, it's primarily about that concern that we stay in a right relationship with God. And likewise, we need to be rescued from the evil one, from the devil, who wants to break our relationship with God. And so we ask God to protect us from him, that we remain in a right relationship with him. So again, God is the center of Jesus' teaching on prayer. Being in relationship with God is the most important thing. Because without God, we are nothing. With God, we are loved children of a heavenly Father. So Jesus teaches that true prayer is concerned with being in a right relationship with God. God is utterly central to the way that Jesus teaches us to pray. So what does that look like in practice? I think it means that whatever the situation, we're always praying for God's glory, that his name be hallowed. We're always praying for his kingdom to come. So, for instance, when we pray for a war-torn country or a country which is suffering like Zimbabwe, what do we pray? Normally we pray for the practical needs of people. And that's right to pray for their daily bread. But I think we should pray that God would be glorified in that situation. His name would be hallowed in that situation. That his kingdom will come in spite of the conflict. I think that's maybe the way our prayers should be framed. The challenge for us is this. Are our prayers God-centered in the way that Jesus teaches? Or are they essentially me-centered? And are you in a right relationship with God? If you aren't sure, please come and pray with someone after the service. Come and get right with God. Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, you are the center of reality, and we are not. Please may you be at the center of our priorities and therefore at the center of our praying. And we ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.